point out a few things. We had heard some, a few good things on the cruise from Michael Porter, in reference to Mark, and he pointed out some things that you kind of overlook when you read it. If you just read through the chapter, you know, you don't really focus on word placement and, you know, the way it's written, you know. So, let's start on the first chapter. And it says, in the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latch of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose me. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And in that verse right there, you know, if you just read through it, you're thinking that John is seeing the dove. You know, but it's talking about his references into Jesus. And it says, and straightway coming up out of the water, which is Jesus coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descend upon him. So he's the only one it's saying is seeing the dove actually come down and descend upon him. It doesn't say that John sees the dove or anyone else around him is seeing the dove or the heavens open. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And that word driveth is, you know, it's a kind of a strong word. It calls attention, you know, to the forcefulness of the Spirit urging him to go into the wilderness, you know, where he spends the next 40 days. It's just a forceful word they use there. You know, it doesn't lead you to believe that, you know, he just, you know, decided to go. You know, he was driven out. You know, and that word's used enough. The only time that word is really used is in reference to driving out spirits when they would pray for the demon possessed and things like that. It's used driving, you know. So it's a forceful word, and you know, it's nothing. It wasn't like he just kind of wandered out there. You know, he was driven out there. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of Satan, with all the wild beasts and angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew casting a net to the sea. But they
a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were on in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they travel on through, you know, and they keep going down, and he goes over and he heals Simon's mother. You know, he casts out the demons of the guy crying along the way. And he's ministering all along the way and cleansing, you know, lepers and just healing people all along the way till he gets to the to the multitude, you know. And kick back up and pick back up in 22. And it says, and the scripture and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath possessed Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils cast out devils. And he called unto him and said unto them in parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if the kingdom divide, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never forget, shall hath never forgiveness, but is in damnation of eternal, or danger of eternal damnation. And when he said that, you know, he was talking to the, he was in reference to the scribes and people that were trying to come against him and saying, you know, you're casting out devils and devils. You know, they didn't want to accept him, or they didn't. They refused to accept him as being, you know, the Son of Man, being the Son of God, and, you know, being this perfect individual who, you know, came in and had authority over demons, had authority over, you know, sickness, over the elements, you know, talking to the wind, talking to the seas, you know. Everyone was amazed, so, you know, they didn't want to accept him as being, you know, the son of God. They wanted to stereotype him as being, you know, a satanic person, you know. So that way they could destroy him, and, you know, that would, you know, ease their comfort in a sense because of their denominational ways. You know, they wanted to stick to their denomination, which was all man motivated, you know, man made basically. And so it was just, you know, he spoke to them in parables to try and get them to understand what was going on. And the next parable he gives is the parable of the sower. And he began again to teach, that's in chapter 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on land. And he taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there was And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure it but for a time. Afterward, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choking the word, and it become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. In that parable, it's got good depth, it covers a broad range of the people that hear the word. Some people hear the word, and they say, yeah, that's a good message, and then they leave and they don't, use whatever might have, been there for them that day. They might have never caught on. Maybe they were distracted. Maybe they were thinking about whatever they needed to think of, when they got out of church that day, or whenever they got away from the word, wherever they were hearing it at, he's saying, be a hearer, be a doer, and the fruit will come, and so it's, it's just, we want to make sure that the word we receive is, planted in us in the right manner, that it's not just in one ear out the other, that it's not just, oh yeah, that was a good message, that we don't, hear a word and then go out and have someone say something and it steals our peace, whatever, and they become thorns and choking out the good word that we heard that day. We don't want to have people come in and just distract us from whatever we heard that day, whatever good message it was for us, whether it was a message or whether it was just in conversation with each other. If one of us just talked to the other one, we got a good witness from that person, and then we move to, go to the store and run into somebody else, and they take all the good witness that we just got and give us, a disgruntled spirit or whatever, and oh man, I can't believe
Brandon, you know, or anybody like that, you know. So we just want to make sure that we get the word and we hold fast to it. Continuing on 21, and it says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man had ears, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed that ye hear with what measures ye meet. And that word meet translated is used, you know. So with what measures you use, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, for him shall be taken even with what he had. And he said, so in the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and that the full corn on the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth it to the sickle, in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall liken the kingdom of God? Or what with comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh God greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadows of it. And we always know that Ed used to use that faith, the grain of the mustard seed, you know. And it's good to read that, you know, and see that, you know, such a small seed can, you know, grow and be such a great plant, you know, that it can not only bear fruit for us to eat from, it can bear, you know, protection from the fowls of the air, you know, or whatever, you know, insects, bugs, whatever, you know, anything that needs to get out of the weather, whether it need to be to hide itself from the rain, hide itself from the sun, you know, if it needs shade, if it needs just protection, you know, it's got this, you know, something that started out that you can barely see it, to something that can provide so much protection, you know. And, you know, we need to think of the word like that, you know, that we can start out with, you know, you can read a chapter and then years later read the same chapter again and get totally different things, you know, that it always grows. You never, you know, you never finish eating on it, in a sense. You know, it's just like when Jesus fed the thousands, you know, he multiplies continually the food. You know, every time we read the Bible, he's multiplying the word to us. You know, we get something different out of it. We get a better understanding of it. You know, as we grow in the word, the scripture reveals itself to us more and more, you know. So it's just like the bread and the fish, you know, they just keep multiplying. You know, we never full. We never finish eating. You know, it never runs out, you know. I think I passed over it, but he fed the multitude.
It's in chapter 6.
It's in chapter 6. Well, I know he fed two multitudes. One was 5,000 and one was 4,000. The 12 baskets was received of the 4,000 fruit, and the 7 baskets was received of the 5,000 fruit. I just wanted to read it in verse 44 of chapter 6. And they that eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And I know Michael Ford had made reference to that, the word men. That's not including all the women and children that were there. That word men, there was 5,000 men. So you figure for every man, there was a wife and a couple kids, most likely. You know, so that 5,000, you can double into 10,000 for the wives. And then with children, if you had 2 children for each, that's 20,000. You know, so how many people actually ate off of that, you know, those loaves of bread and those fish that day? You know, the men are the only ones, you know, at the time that were really recorded of, for the most part, you know. When it talks in the scriptures of these, you know, so, you know, that number, as if 5,000 wasn't enough, you know, 20,000, you know, that's even more, you know. So, that was another thing that he had pointed out, you know, on the wording of the scriptures and everything that I remember. Read chapter 7, verse 6 right there. I like reading, you know, the stuff that is what Jesus said. You know, it's more, you know, it's not more interesting, but it is more interesting, you know, because you know that's what he said. And says, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaac prophesied of the hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups. Many of other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death, being said, put to death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be prophesied by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered and made many such things, like things, do you. So he's just talking to the Pharisees, you know, again, the Pharisees and the scribes, and just, you know, condemning them for their actions, you know, and their beliefs, that they rather do their traditional ways. You know, they were complaining about the disciples eating with dirty hands, you know. And, you know, he goes on to say that it's not what you enter, you know, it's not what comes into you in that fashion that goes into your belly. That's not what corruption, you know. Eating things isn't what corruption, it's the things that come out of you, you know, that corrupt you. It's the things that come out of your heart. It's, you know, it's, you know, it says in 21, for from within, out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes were trying to, you know, that's gonna, you know, that's gonna cause a problem, you know, for you. You know, it's that's what's gonna say you're evil or good, you know, or, you know, evil or holy, you know. It's not about traditional things, you know. It's about what the Word says. You know, it's about what He believes. You know, that's why we bless our food, you know, at every meal, you know, so that, you know, anything of unclean, you know, we'll get the nourishment that we need from it, you know, and keep it cleansed, you know, through faith. And so that was pretty much, you know, I read half the chapter and kind of looked through it, you know, and I was liking all the parables and stuff, you know, and I wanted to make reference to those few things that, you know, that he had said, you know, that, you know, it's, you really got to read the Word close, you know, and not skip over things and take things for their, you know, don't just, you know, read through it like it's a book, you know, there's more meaning to it than we think sometimes, you know, because I always thought it was John that saw the dove coming down, you know, and John saw the heavens open or everybody around. I didn't realize it was just, you know, Jesus that saw it. He was the only one that saw it, you know. And when you think about the 5,000, you don't think about it just being the men. You think about it being 5,000 people total. And, you know, just think along those lines of how the Word manifests itself in more ways than we notice. And literal means are sometimes not as obvious as we may think. So that's about all I got for today. So.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Whenever he was sharing just now, you know, I prayed that God would speak to us and give us revelation on the word that came forth. And so whenever he was talking about the mustard seed, you know, that it was a sower had sowed a seed and that it was small. And that, you know, Tyler had talked about that dad had sowed seed in our lives. And, you know, the seed that dad sowed in our lives, it was a small seed. It was a seed of faith. Dad sowed faith into all of our lives. You know, he was a man of great faith. He believed God was his source for everything in his life. And that, you know, I just wrote down that, you know, the mustard seed, it grew up to be a very big tree and it had strong branches and the fowls in the air would have shelter in its shadow. And that, well, will we allow it to grow in our lives? Will we allow our faith to be so great that it would be a shelter to others? That our branches must be strong so that when the rains come, they won't be weighted down so much that they break and destroy those who take shelter in them. And that our roots must be so deep that when the winds come, we won't be uprooted and die. And that those who live among our roots won't be destroyed, them and their homes. Even those who rely on the shadow of the branch would be affected by our branches if they wither up from the sun, or if they don't get enough nutrients from the root, or if they're broken from the rain. You know, that whenever we were going through a trial in our lives, Dad's faith, you know, would help sustain us. We would seek him out and ask him to pray with us. And that's how we're supposed to be. You know, we have people in our lives that are believers and unbelievers, you know, and they come to us because they know that we believe in God and that we have faith in God. And they rely on us. They rely on our branches. You know, the unbelievers are like the fowls of the air. They don't necessarily live in the Word. They don't live in our branches. But the shadows that our branches cast, they do take shelter in the heat from the sun. When troubles come against them, our faith does offer them some protection. You know, maybe it's just for a moment that they come to us and they can get a little bit of peace from whatever situation they're in. But then they're also believers in our lives, you know, that are people in our family that live in our branches with us. You know, they're seeing our faith walk, you know. And if the troubles come and our branches get broken off, then what will happen to them, you know? Or if they live with us and our roots get uprooted, it's not just them that would be destroyed. Because if a branch falls, and a bird is living in it, then the bird could be killed. But if there's a squirrel or something that's made its nest in the roots of the tree, it's not just that the animal would be killed, but its whole house would be destroyed, you know? And that this little simple one verse, you know, really has great impact on our lives, you know? And we have to realize that this tiny little seed that Dad sowed in our life, this little seed of faith, that now it's time for us to grow and be those tall trees. We need to start sowing those seeds. We have sowed those seeds. You know, I'm not saying that we haven't, but it's just time for us to really start to produce. We have to sow more seed, and we really have to watch our faith walk, the words that come out of our mouth. Where are we putting our confidence? Where are we putting our trust? Where are we putting our hope? Because even just people that know somebody that knows us could be affected by our faith, if it's great, or our faith if it's not great. So that's what God showed me today.
Anybody else get anything? All right. Got to join hands and praise him inside. Giving us an abundant and overwhelming peace from you, Lord, from your message, Lord, from your words, from all the comfort that you give us through your words, Lord. And we thank you for just growing our faith, Lord, growing our branches, Lord, and just growing our seeds that have been planted in us, Lord, and just making them come forth and helping us fertilize the ground around us, Lord, and fertilize and pass your blessing on to everyone that comes in contact with us, that they may see that your word is the first thing that comes out of our heart, Lord, that we're just a overwhelming presence for you, Lord. And we ask that you just give us a great blessed week, Lord, and peaceful week, Lord, and any trials that we may have, that you'll give us a speedy victory over them, and that you'll keep us all safe under your wing, Lord, and in the shadows of your tree, Lord.